SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so, yeah, Arthur Smith gets that Falcon job. One other note, the Josh Gordon suspended again, this time allegedly indefinitely by the NFL. Can we just end this charade already? I mean, he's become Steve Howe, this guy, except it's not cocaine. Bottom line is the guy's been suspended. I've lost count. I mean, and Seattle keeps giving him jobs. It's got to end. He's got to be banned from the NFL for life. I'm sick and tired of the Josh Gordon escapades every single year. Let's bring in Mafia now to talk Fight Night UFC. Brian Ciano with us. Let me start, though, with this. Every day I can't get enough of this. I'm seeing this story break late that, you know, yesterday I told you Conor McGregor said that Habib scurried away into retirement because he's afraid of him. Now he's saying today he's afraid to fight him, so he'll stay retired. Does this cuckoo, you know, this guy's as bad as Donald Trump. He lies so much, he believes his lies. This guy actually thinks that he's better than Habib, who absolutely brutalized, choked him out, kicked his ass, humiliated him. It was the worst fight of Conor McGregor's life.
Yeah, and this is all just trying to poke the bear, trying to get him come back, because that's all it says. This guy knows that he's better than him. You know, he's talked about how great he was when the guy retired. He's talked time and time again. You know, it's only when he's promoting fights. You know, when he goes on Twitter and, like, he's sending out condolences about his dad or other things, you know, he's talked about how great Khabib was. It's only when he wants this guy to fight because he knows the money that'll make. If Khabib doesn't come back, there is no mega fight for him. There is no other guy in front of him that people say, oh, man, that's the guy I really want to see him fight that he can make, you know, $10, $20 million off of. All these other guys in that division, Tony Ferguson, Oliveira, you know, Hooker, Chandler, these aren't guys people are excited about putting with Conor yet. So for the most part, he knows that if I don't get someone else in there, I need a B-side to my A-side. I need someone else that's going to, you know, rile people up. And right now, the only person out there is Khabib.
Real quick, the meeting with Khabib today, you saw it go down. What do you think happened?
I think Dana said, hey, can you come back? And Khabib probably said no. I mean, the guy seems like he's content. You know, most people, they want the money. That's all they care about. Khabib doesn't need that. It feels like he's good. You know, he reached the peak that he wanted to. He said it to his mom he wouldn't fight anymore. He doesn't have his dad, who's a huge part of his career. He's starting up this fight promotion. I think it was just, hey, can you come back? And they said, no, thanks.
God, I wish he'd come back, honestly, and beat McGregor's ass again. Holloway, Qatar, I need your picks, Mafia. I'm desperate.
Yeah, this one's going to be on ABC on the big network at 3 Eastern. You know, so noon Pacific. So don't get, you know, sitting around waiting for it to come late night after those NFL games. Going to be early. Get ready for it. Holloway versus Qatar. Qatar is, you know, on a nice 6-2 run in the UFC. He's won 2 in a row. 4 of his last 5. 4 of his 6 wins are by KO, TKO. But don't sleep on Holloway. Holloway is the former featherweight champ. This is a guy who won 14 featherweight fights in a row before he lost to Volkanovski the first time. He should have won the belt back from Volkanovski the second time in that split decision loss. He's lost 4 fights. His last 4 fights have all gone the distance. And if you're looking at FanDuel, they think it's going the distance because total is 4.5 rounds, juice to the over at minus 186, minus 156 to go the distance, and you can buy points as minus 170. They think it's going all the way. So if you want to bet Holloway, that's the way I'm going at minus 178, but you can get him at plus 120 if you go buy points, if you want to try that way. So that's the way I'm going there. Welterweight after that, Carlos Condit, the natural born killer versus Matt the Immortal Brown, a fight that should have happened probably 6 years ago for it to really be interesting. Both these guys on the downslope. I'm going to take a chance on Matt Brown at plus 150. You know, Condit got his first win against McGee, but McGee shouldn't be in the UFC anymore in his last fight. Matt Brown lost his last fight, but he knocked the guy down earlier. He won 2 in a row before that. You know, he's a guy that's very well-rounded like Condit. I'm going to take a chance here because Condit lost a bunch of his fights on his 5-fight losing streak by submission. So why not throw a little cash here at Matt Brown by submission plus 1,300?
We love you on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and SoCal, Sports Map Radio. What up? Sports Byline USA, and of course, Satellite Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the new Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, real quick, Holloway says he wants a rematch with McGregor. Poirier says he's going to beat McGregor. McGregor says he wants to fight Nate Diaz. And the WBC president says if he can beat a ranked opponent, he'll give McGregor a title shot in boxing. I mean, is every single story in both sports about Conor McGregor? He owns boxing and MMA.
He's the biggest name, the biggest mouth, and the biggest draw right now. So, of course, I mean, you know, Holloway saying that, it makes sense for him a little bit because these guys fought at 145 before, and, you know, McGregor got the decision. So, for Holloway, if Volkanovski's going to avoid him and not let him fight third time for the title after that last one, then, hey, go make some money against McGregor. Poirier, you know, if he has that confidence, he thinks he can, he's on a high note right now. That Hooker fight made him look great. He, you know, rose his stock completely. So, yeah, he should think he could beat McGregor. If you get into the cage and you don't think you should be there, then you probably shouldn't be fighting. That's pretty dangerous. McGregor fought one Nate Diaz. That's just yawn. I don't care. That was so long ago, so boring. Who cares? And for me, the big thing, you know, the WBC saying they put this guy for a title for one ranked opponent win. Are you kidding me? That shows how much of a joke that boxing is, that they would take this guy from MMA. He's only fought in boxing once, got demolished, and say, yeah, we'll give him a shot for the title if you just fight one guy. Just get one win and we'll give you a shot at the title. That's a joke. That shows why your sport's dying.
Yeah, except I still want to see the Caleb Plant fight. I think that's coming
up. Oh, no,
up
there's
going
to be great fights, but if you're going to reach out and try to steal this guy in order to get the spotlight, that's kind of pathetic.
All right, Adrian Broner is going to return to the ring February 13th for the first time in 2 years. I love to hate that guy's guts. Pacquiao thinks Spence is too slow. He wants to fight McGregor. Keith Thurman says Danny Garcia sucks. He also slammed Top Rank and says Arum is a piece of shack. And Arum said to Fury that he told him he will never let him fight Wilder again. And Ryan Garcia Mafia, how about this guy? He wants to go fight MMA now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing for some of these boxers. If you're not the upper level guys, you probably make more money. You probably get more hype going over to the UFC and trying to do that. So, you know, more people are thinking about that. You had Clarissa Shields on the women's side doing that. You got Garcia thinking about it on the men's side.
Hey, so go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for all of Mafia's UFC fight night picks. They'll all be there for tomorrow's fights. Remember, 3 E's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Inside Skinny, NFL-wise, anywhere, on any channel, any day, it doesn't matter. We got Adam Kaplan on Coast to Coast, at Kaplan NFL on social media, on Twitter. Adam, on a pain-free Friday, for television style, let's get into it. Let's start with the Falcons. They got their man.
Yeah, so Arthur Smith has finally agreed to terms to be their head coach. He was the former Titans offensive coordinator, and this is a guy that I talked to a couple of people. One guy was actually a coaching agent. He said, hey, my client's not getting that Atlanta job, but I can tell you who is going to get it. It's Arthur Smith. And so I checked into it, and his interview went so well. They kind of knew it because he's at that age, late 30s. He's been through a lot. He started from the bottom with the Titans. I mean, it's about as low as you can go on a coaching staff and work his way up through several jobs. And then Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, Farrell, made him their offensive coordinator last season, did a great job, had some growing pains second half of 2019 that the offense really took off, did a great job. Don't forget his dad is Fred Smith, the CEO of FedEx, and who is a minority owner of the Washington team. So he comes from a business background from his dad, but as one Titans source said to me, he comes from money but is not motivated by it. Here's what the source told me. Extremely smart. If you're a Falcons fan, this is what you're getting in Arthur Smith. Extremely smart, even keeled, relates to players, innovative, takes input, consistent, demanding. What I love is he listens to people. He doesn't think he knows it all. That's very, very important when you're becoming an NFL head coach. He's been on the fast track. 3 years ago, no one was talking about him being a head coach, but he agreed to it. He's going to be the Falcons head coach, and he's got a nice contract to boot.
I think they said those nice things about Dan Quinn, too. I think they say those nice things about every coach they hire at every job in the NFL. Let me ask you, Dan Campbell.
Quinn got the Super Bowl, my friend.
Out of nowhere, Dan Campbell is going to get that job in Detroit, I'm hearing. The assistant head coach of the Saints, Peyton's sidekick. How did that happen? Because all these other people, Bevel, there were a lot of people talking about others. No one mentioned Dan Campbell, and he stole that job in the night, it looks like.
Yeah, here's what – it's actually not done. Talking to a source close to him. He's the favorite, very clear favorite. Blew him away in their interview. I don't know if you've ever dealt with Dan Campbell. Unbelievably direct. Great command. He's what we call a CEO head coach. He's not going to call the plays. It's kind of like a Tom Coughlin type, a Mike Tomlin type, a guy that is going to hand it off. I'm told he has not settled on who his coordinators will be. He's going to interview these guys. And that's the way he's going to do it if this contract gets completed this week, in which it should do. But the Lions are not confirmed that yet. Once everything's done, he'll be the head coach, barring a snag. And this is an interesting hire. Remember, he had been interim head coach with the Dolphins years ago. Did actually a pretty nice job. Not only is he one of the best tight end coaches in the league, guy's a former player you might remember with the Cowboys and some other teams. Good football player, great command. And that's what you need in today's NFL with all the stuff, Pharrell, that these head coaches are going to be thrown at him. They're not ready for it. Arthur Smith, and remember, he was not an interim head coach. He's been on the fast track. Yes, the Titans love him. They think he's smart, but he's going to be challenging. By the way, Arthur Smith, and when you look at him, I'm told Dave Ragone, who's the Bears passing game coordinator, that is one of his targets to probably be his top offensive assistant, either an offensive coordinator or a passing game coordinator. But I am told Arthur Smith will call the plays at least this season.
All right, so I have to ask you a tough question. Like all these white guys getting all the jobs again, and then you got guys like Bieniemy. It seems like it didn't go well in Houston. Otherwise, they would have offered him the job unless they're doing some kind of massive thorough search where they said, hold on, we still want to interview 10 people and we'll get back to you. That doesn't smell good to me. I don't think he's getting a Philly job, and I'm not feeling the Chargers either. I think Dable's a guy in Buffalo that people are, you know, he's lying in the weeds because he's still coaching in the playoffs. What is going on with the minority hires in the NFL? Again, it's all white guys, just like always.
Right. Now, Robert Saleh is considered a minority, but I hear you. Yeah, Eric Bieniemy, if you just look at credentials, former player, he's an offensive coordinator, but he's not a play caller. But he's got tremendous command. He's just as qualified, if not more, than Arthur Smith. It is surprising. I think you're on the right track thinking he might get shut out. That is the feeling I get as you and I speak today. That's the feeling around the league. He is absolutely qualified, more than anyone in this coaching search this year. People can say what they want, but he's done everything the right way as the Chiefs offense coordinator. He's worked his way up as a position coach. Typically, when guys don't get jobs, it's the interview process. Something does not go right. I couldn't tell you. You know, nothing's been reported about why he's not getting these jobs. But my sense is, talking to people around the league, it's typically in the interview process, either they don't hit it off, teams don't get a good feeling. I don't know why this would happen. He's got great command. It's just, I'm going to turn out to be wrong about this. I thought for sure, when you and I talked a week ago, when we headed into this process, once this interview started, because everyone around the league said to me, he's the number one guy. Well, then why isn't he getting jobs? It's a great question. I have no problem talking about it. Because there's no reason other than depending on how these interviews go. You can't tell me every interview is not going well. It's ridiculous. So it's got it's just something going on here. I don't understand it.
Okay, so let's go here then. Deshaun Watson is livid in Houston. He was mad about Easterly, and McNair's already said he's not going anywhere. Not Watson, but Easterly. And now Watson is so mad. He's wearing Niners jerseys. Do you think that they would let Watson get his way and get Bieniemy, bring him back in, because Bieniemy is the guy Watson wanted to be the coach anyway? Why don't they make this quarterback happy, or they're going to lose him?
Yeah, look, yeah, but when you say that, number one, they control his future. They have the contract. They have the player, so it'll be up to them. Now, he could, as you and I have talked about before, he can make it really hard on him, not showing up to any offseason situations in terms of practices, not showing up to training camp. Then that's a different story, but let's get back to the Bieniemy situation with Watson. Yeah, he's made it very clear, not a secret. He wants them to interview him. And Deshaun, look, and by the way, this is another thing. He's not gonna dictate anything, but the thing that he wants is keep me part of the process. The way that two of their candidates for GM told me, they were told, Pharrell, he would be a part of the process. In terms of the GM candidates, not he might sit in on a Zoom session, which those first interviews were done in anyway. He was not, I'm told, in those interviews. And this is you talked about Jack Easterby, who's the director of football operations. That's on Easterby. That's also on Cal McNair, the owner. It didn't happen, and you could clearly see why he's upset.
So tell me this. You're the Philadelphia massive insider. That's where you are, Philadelphia. You love it there. What is going on? They're interviewing all these guys, Deuce Staley, everybody else. What's going on there, and what's going on with the Chargers?
All right, let's go to Philly first. They are looking to hire an innovative head coach in terms of offense. They have significant interest in Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma head coach, who has not agreed to an interview yet, if he does at all. The Eagles have dealt with him in a couple times in the draft process with Jalen Hurts, who the Eagles drafted, who Riley coached last season at Oklahoma. So they know the guy. They also like Mike Kafka, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator. The Eagles were actually going to talk. They wanted to interview him for their vacant offensive coordinator job last year, but the Chiefs made sure this didn't happen. They promoted him, but now the rules are different. Now they can't block him, not only for interviewing for a head coaching job. If you could prove that a guy's heavily involved in game planning, you can't block anyone, even if it's if he wouldn't have the OC title. But Kafka's a guy who's kind of young at 33 years old, turns 34 soon. This would be a little bit early for him. He's only been coaching for 4 years. But the Eagles want someone who's innovative. And by the way, they drafted him. Andy Reid did, ironically, when Andy was the head coach, he had personnel control in Philly. But yeah, Deuce Staley, he is the only candidate they would look at that is currently with his coaching staff. They love Deuce. He's been a running backs coach. And he's also, don't forget, he's the assistant head coach. So that's a guy that the Eagles absolutely love. And he's been there for a long, long time.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Chargers. Is Dable going to end up there or in Houston? We'll see what Adam thinks of that. And we'll break down Sunday's divisional games at Arrowhead and on Bourbon Street. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Doubleheader Saturday and Sunday. It's Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you. Hope you're digging us on our new channel on Sirius 204. We love you on all of our affiliates, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Radio, Byline USA, Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider, gigging with us on a pain-free Friday. I have to tell you, Dable is the Buffalo guy. He reminds me of Bieniemy in the sense that he's such a hot commodity that no one's talking about him because he's still coaching. And I just have this feeling one of those two jobs, Houston or the Chargers, Dable's going to get one of them because everyone's saying that he's the next guy that's going to go, like they said about Bieniemy. But again, here we go with the racial thing. Bottom line is, you can say whatever you want. It just keeps happening. Do you believe he'll get one of those two jobs?
I would not say he's the favorite. First of all, when you look at the Chargers, let's talk about them. They're looking for someone to continue to develop Justin Herbert, their quarterback, their first-round pick, who had a great rookie season. There's no question about it. And what they want to do going forward is have that, just keep that continuity going. Get someone to develop that quarterback. That's why they had interest in Jason Garrett. Brian Dable is a guy, not multiple teams. You mentioned Houston. Remember, Nick Caserio and Dable worked together in New England, so they know each other. That's just right. The way it is in the National Football League. Erp Bieniemy is not a guy who coaches quarterbacks. His background is with running backs. But Erp Bieniemy's got the perfect command to be a head coach. Players believe in him. They respond to him. It's not about calling plays. By the way, Andy Reid didn't call plays when he was with the Packers. He was never even a coordinator. It shouldn't matter. It's about command and coaching and getting your own coordinators. Let them deal with coaching the quarterbacks. There's just something going on here that does not make any sense. I just can't believe that Erk Bieniemy is going to be shut out again, but right now it looks like that could be the case.
What now is Dable not a part of the Josh Allen success this year from last year?
No, he is. No. But that's what I'm talking about with the Chargers. That's why they like a guy like Brian Dable. No, he's been Brian Dable in my 21 years of covering the National Football League for L has done probably a top two job. This guy's unbelievable. And you know what I love about this guy? Was fired by the Browns, been with a lot of teams, but he's rebounded. And as a young guy in his early 30s, it didn't go well with the Browns. He moved up. Coached for Belichick, coached for Nick Saban at Alabama. And you know what? He learned how to become a great coordinator and a play caller and developer quarterbacks at 45 years old. Mm-hmm. We all go through stuff in life. We all do. Everyone watching and listening has. And if you hang in there and you learn from your mistakes, you become better. And he certainly has. And have you ever seen in your years of watching football for decades, as you have, you and I have, if you ever seen a quarterback make this big of a jump in accuracy? I've not in Josh Allen.
I think he's incredible, and I think Dable gets the Charger job, but what do I know? Let me ask you, do you feel that the Jets ended up getting the best coach?
Robert Saleh, I'm told, blew them away. He had two interviews, did well enough to feel good to get him a second interview, but the first interview was really the reason. Prepared, commanding the interview. But the big thing is when you get in front of people for, you know this, it's just so different from doing it on Zoom or in this case, it did on Microsoft Teams. When you get in front of people, they could see you up front, see your face, get face to face with someone. It's all about that changes everything. And they know it. They didn't need to take any other interviews. They're going to bring in Mike LaFleur, Matt's younger brother. The reason why they're bringing him in, he was the passing game coordinator, not the run game coordinator. Mike McDaniel is the run game coordinator for the 49ers. He's more of a running backs guy. They wanted someone to continue to develop their quarterbacks, whether it's going to be Sam Darnold or somebody else with the Jets. But Robert Saleh turned 42 soon. He was the favorite going into the process for the Lions. He wanted the job. They wanted him. Didn't work out. But he became the Jets man. And by the way, the Jets kind of knew it very early that he was going to be their guy. They just wanted to see what it was like in person, and he aced the job.
Wow. I know they're really stoked to have him in the Big Apple. All right, let's go. Browns Chiefs Sunday. We promised a fan yesterday that you'd talk about Sunday's doubleheader.
Yeah.
Let's start with the game at Arrowhead.
I'll tell you what, they're kind of my favorite team in the playoffs just because it's a great story. I used to call them the lovable losers, like the Cubs fans. And look, they got to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. They won the first playoff game in well over two decades. They got some great news on Friday. Joel Bitonio, their star guard, returned from the reserve COVID list. They got a bunch of coaches back. Bill Callahan, their offensive line coach, returned earlier this week. The tight ends coach, Drew Petzing, returned. Their DBs coach, Jeff Howard, returned from the COVID list. He's back. But they have two concerns on injuries. The right tackle, Jack Conklin, now he's got two injuries. He had one before. He injured his hamstring in the last game. He couldn't return. That's a problem. Kendall Lamb would be the guy who would fill in for right tackle if Conklin can't go. They've lost a bunch of backup linemen. Hubbard, their best backup linemen's on injured reserve. He won't return this season. They cannot afford Conklin to be out. This is going to be a problem if he can't play. BJ Goodson, their middle linebacker's got a shoulder injury. They're hopeful he can play because he and Conklin were able to practice some on Friday. Their hope is they'll be able to participate in their walkthrough on Saturday. But, man, the good thing is all these guys come back. And don't forget Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson. Ward, their best corner. Kevin Johnson, their nickel corner. They're both back off the COVID list. So, right now, they're loaded with their guys who were either hurt or were on the COVID list. Most of these guys are back. They can match up a lot better right now. But the problem is the Chiefs' offense is so potent. Let's talk about the Chiefs right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their star rookie running back. He has two injuries now. He had that lingering hip injury. Now he's an ankle injury. He did not practice this week. They're not rolling him out because they want to see if he could warm up and see how he feels prior to the game. Le'Veon Bell would probably start if Edwards-Helaire couldn't play, and Darrell Williams would back him up. Sammy Watkins will not play with his lingering calf injury, which he's had now for 3 weeks. Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson would fill in, but that would be a little bit problematic because Watkins is the veteran, but they would get more speed without Coleman. I still believe the Chiefs will win. Right around that 10-point number, I think it's right around there that I see the Chiefs winning something like 30-20 in that game.
So interesting about Le'Veon Bell. Will he, because he hasn't done anything in Kansas City. So do you think, like, now that after everything he's been through, that when this is over, they'll get rid of him and he'll be, like, basically out of work?
Yeah, he didn't really do much for them. Now, he is a different running style. And when you haven't practiced with this guy in training camp and in the offseason, it's hard to get your timing back because he's a stop and start running back. That's hard to match up with the new offensive line when you haven't had an offseason with this guy. So that is a concern. That's part of why he's not played as well as they would have liked. Don't forget Damian Williams, who was supposed to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire backup. Don't forget, he opted out this season. That is why they signed Le'Veon Bell.
All right, Bucks Saints, Bourbon Street, the third meeting. Break it down, Adam.
All right, here's the issue. Ronald Jones, he's not going to start this week. He's got the quadriceps injury. Remember, he dressed last week but didn't play. They're going with Leonard Fournette as a starter, and if Ronald Jones could play, he'll back him up as a changeup. This is the next thing I'm going to get to is huge. Alex Kappa, they're one of their starting guards, broke his ankle. He won't return until next season. Aaron Stinney will make his first ever NFL start. He's a former undrafted free agent with the Titans. He's been backing up this season. That is not good when you're going to go up against Chris Jones, the star defensive tackle. With that great defensive line for the Saints. Now, Trey Hendrickson of the Saints with his neck injury, he's missed the past three games. To me, if he plays, and don't forget, they move their D lineman around. They could put Hendrickson inside a tackle where he'd get right up there against Stinney. This is a problem for me. But Hendrickson has a neck injury. He's not been cleared. That doesn't concern me. Because if you can't get cleared, you can't get played. But he had 13 and a half sacks out of nowhere, the fourth-year defensive end. But they've got a lot of matchups here that I think favor them. This is a high-scoring game. Brady with 40 touchdowns. This is an indoor game. You don't have to worry about weather. Devin White's back off of the COVID list. By the way, they blitz him on third down. This is going to be a fun game. I think it's relatively close, but I'm going to pick the Saints here.
So the Hendrickson's got the stinger. It could, pop at any time and re-aggravate. So we'll keep an eye on that in that game. So wait, let's go backwards. You took the Saints there again, and then you think the Chiefs win by 10. Go back to Saturday, Rams, Packers, and the Bills, Ravens. Who do you like?
All right, I got a three-point game. My head says the Ravens, I'm going to go with them, but my heart, I want the Bills to win for Carver High and all my friends are the Bills, but I'm going to pick the Ravens. They're the hottest team in the AFC right now. I am concerned, though, in that Browns game. I'm hoping Joel Bitonio will be able to hold off Chris Jones. Bitonio is a great football player, but he hasn't played in a while. That does concern me a little bit, but I like that they're getting all these players back. If they could get up early, they're a front-running team. You know their run game is unbelievable. They got the NFL's best run game, and the Chiefs aren't a great run defense, but they got to get up early. You do not want Baker Mayfield having to pass a lot. That's not what they want, but they will come up passing early. They do that. They try to stay ahead of the down here, but it's all about the Browns running game. They got to get an early lead or they're in trouble.
And the Packers?
Yeah, I would say with the Packers, the problem is with Goff's thumb, it does concern me. He did the best job that he could. Their defense can hang with the Packer offense to a certain extent, but the problem is the Rams are going to have trouble scoring. I'm going to pick the Packers to win by 3 or 7 points.
Wow. And real quick, I got 30 seconds. Tell me about all that compensation. The Jets get two additional third-round picks in 21-22 for hiring a minority candidate, and the Niners also get two third-round picks for developing a minority candidate who gets hired. At least they did it right, these two.
Yes, and there's an incentive. Like, a lot of people in the league were not happy with having to incentivize people hiring minorities, which is not the right way it should be done. But you know what? The time has come. This is what the NFL has to do to treat people fairly, and I'm glad they did it. And I'll tell you what, this is the, you know what, if that's what it takes for people to be treated fairly, I think you and I would be all for it.
That's right. It's right, because no one does it. It's 1 in 10, and so if you're not going to do it, then give them something to do it. At the very least, gets people motivated. If that's what it takes, you got to do whatever it takes to make it happen. Adam, enjoy the doubleheader both Saturday and Sunday. Great job all week on Coast to Coast. Have a terrific weekend.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Adam Kaplan on Coast to Coast.
Sports Grid BettingInsights.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's hear from all the particulars heading into the weekend in these divisional games.
Yeah, let's finally get to it, Scotty. This is it. Our last segment breaking down these games before we finally get to them this weekend. Packers and Rams, let's start there. Packer coach Matt LaFleur, he thinks that Aaron Rodgers has been a man on a mission all season and hopes to keep it going on Saturday.
He's had a great approach. He's had a great attitude. He definitely is. He's our leader. And, you know, he does such a great job on a daily basis, making sure that everybody's on the details. He definitely owns the details. And it's been a lot of fun, this whole process. And, you know, we want to just keep it going.
You know, here's what's going to happen. Rodgers doesn't make mistakes. And Goff does. There you go. Enjoy the game.
The night game on Saturday. Bills and the Ravens in Buffalo, Scotty. Let's start with Bills quarterback Josh Allen. He is ready to face the Raven D.
Like Indianapolis didn't pressure a whole bunch and played some zone behind it. This is a team that typically wants to bring some pressure. They're one of the heaviest pressure teams in the NFL. So, again, our protection plan's got to be spot on. I got to be smart with the football and putting it in the right position for our guys to make the most out of their opportunities. It's a team that you got Peters outside and Humphreys that are extremely, extremely good at punching the ball out. So that's a point of emphasis this week. And, again, their front, you know, four or five guys, they rotate quite a few guys that are really good football players. So we got to be ready for everything they can throw at us and stick to our rules and try to execute a game plan.
So they've won 14 games. They want to win 15 and keep going. If you lose, you're just like the Steelers. It doesn't matter how great you think you are. If you don't win this game, it doesn't matter how many games you won. They have to win the game Saturday night. That's all there is to it. You can talk all you want. All these teams, whoever loses, you go home just like the teams that already went home. So you can brag all you want about how badass you are. You win 14 games, you lose. Your season went down the drain.
There's only one team at the end, Scotty, that it matters, and that's the one that's going to be holding the trophy in Tampa in a couple of weeks. John Harbaugh and the Ravens, they hope that they are going to be there as well. Been a good week for them. They are going on the road, ready to get into Buffalo tomorrow night.
Good week of practice. Very excited to go up in a great environment against a great football team and play in a divisional round game. So we're looking forward to it. Our guys are ready. And we're going to just go try to put our best foot forward and play the best game that we can.
They mean business. They're a dangerous team. The Bills definitely have their hands full.
Sunday, Scotty, first game, 3 p.m. Eastern. The Browns off the win against the Steelers go to Kansas City to face the Chiefs' best record in the NFL this year. Here is Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. He is not worried at all about the Browns getting rattled at Arrowhead on Sunday.
I think when you go on the road, you know, there's that us against them mentality, and it's a little bit different now without full stadiums, but I know Arrowhead's going to have some fans. I know it's going to be loud, but you really just got to stick together. But ultimately, we understand our brand of football and making sure that we're playing true to that.
I mean, somebody's got to be the road team, right? Like, let's get over all this home and road nonsense. They're not as good as the Chiefs. Okay, so unless they turn the ball over like Pittsburgh did and they start snapping the ball over Mahomes' head and every pass he throws gets deflected and picked off, that team's not losing. So unless they screw it up, they're not losing. I don't care what he says about sticking together, staying in the hotel, being bonding, all that other nonsense.
The late game on Sunday, Breeze and Brady. They have been waiting for this all year. Here is Saints defender Malcolm Jenkins. He thought that they would see Brady and the Bucs again.
I think, you know, in the back of our minds, you know, even after the last time we played them, we understood that we'd see that team again at some point, or this was going to be a good chance of it. So I don't think we're surprised that we're in this space. You know, and I don't think we'd have it any other way. It's exciting. You know, it's hard, really, really hard to beat a team twice. You know, so obviously times that by a few. And it's really hard to beat a team three times, but especially with the firepower that they have. But for us and where we want to go, I think that just adds context.
I mean, I was looking at trends. Not that I get into them, but honestly, Drew Brees has owned Tom Brady. The Saints have owned the Bucs over the years in the regular season and the postseason. As long as Brees and Peyton have been around, they kicked their ass twice. You talked about the trend yesterday, 12 out of 16, the third time they beat him again. I'm still going with him.
Let's hear from Tom Brady to finish it off, Scotty. He knows what the key to this game is. Hold on to the football. Here is TB12.
It's big for both teams. And, you know, the turnover margin, out of all the stats, I think that one always speaks to wins and losses just about more than any other stat. So taking care of the football gives you maximize your ability to score. Taking the football away minimizes their ability to score. You know, it's very difficult to score if you don't have the ball. If you give the ball away, it gives them more chances to score. So when you play good teams, it always comes down to that. You know, that's a big point of emphasis. We've got to protect it in the passing game. And that responsibility obviously falls on the quarterback, but it falls on a lot of other people too. You know, it falls on, you know, all of us making a concerted effort to be on the same page in the passing game so we can play with anticipation, play with confidence. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that.
It's simple. Whoever makes a mistake in the fourth quarter, that pick or that fumble, the biggest mistake in the fourth quarter usually costs one team and they lose.
So let's go to the window, Scotty. We're finally here. For the final time this week, let's go to the window with these four games. Saturday, Packers, -6.5 at home against the Rams. Bills, -2.5. They are at home against the Ravens.
Well, if the Packers don't win this game by more than 7, I'll keel over. I don't buy Goff. I don't buy that offense. I know McVay's been incredible. I know all the trends say take the Rams and the points. I am not betting against Aaron Rodgers to save my ass. I'm going Green Bay. The hardest bet is the Bills. I'm on the Bills. I'm laying 2.5. I think it's a dangerous way to make a living against a team that their defense is on fire right now. And Lamar Jackson finally got over the hump, and he's lethal too. I need Josh Allen to beat the Ravens. I'm going Buffalo. I'm chalk both games.
Sunday, let's go with those as well, Scotty. It's been 10 all week long, double digits, Chiefs at home against the Browns. Late game has held strong the entire week. Saints, -3 at home against the Bucs.
Look, the Browns defense, flat out, bottom tier of the league in almost every facet and every department. They are not that good defensively. They had a huge lead against Pittsburgh, almost blew that because their defense sucks. Roethlisberger threw for 500 against him, and he was atrocious. So remember that Browns defense is kind of broke. So with the Chiefs, with that quarterback, Mahomes, with Kelce, Hill, and their backup receivers that are going to be playing for Watkins, they're better than all of the Browns. Kansas City rolls, and I'm going Saints again. Four quad chalk. I'm doing chalk every game. I'm going with it, and it is what it is.
Well, let's try to have some fun now because we did this last Friday for the wild card weekend, and I have to do it again with you here. Highest scoring team of the weekend on FanDuel, special prop that they have. Chiefs, of course, at the top at +240. Rams at the bottom at 16-1. Highest scoring team of the weekend, Scotty. Where would you like to try to go?
You know, even though they're playing that great defense, I still got to take Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
+550, little Packers right there in the middle. I'm going to go with the Saints, Scotty, 5-1. I'm going to take the Saints at 5-1 to score the most points this weekend. I think that will be a bit of a crazy game with Tampa Bay. And now we do the flip side. Lowest scoring team, Rams at the top. +260 all the way down to the Chiefs at 21-1. Which team will not be putting points on the board this weekend?
I think it's the Rams. I don't think Goff's going to do anything in Lambeau. I think he's going to call his mommy and tell her that his thumb hurts.
Rams, the fake. Hey, listen, plus 260. Why not? We'll take a shot with it. I'm going to go with the Ravens, plus 550. I think it's going to be a kind of a tight, low-scoring game between the Bills and the Ravens, and I'm hoping, Scotty, that the Bills find a way. I think that they're going to, and I think they're going to find their way in some kind of a 16-13, 19-16 type of game. Real, you know, real beat each other up in the B-Lo tomorrow night. So yeah, that's kind of where my head is at right now.
I can see that, but I honestly think both quarterbacks are too good to not score. And last week I thought it'd be 16-10, and they still scored more than that. I thought the Colts played well, and I thought the Bills played better and got it done. And they went way over the number I thought that it would happen. So I still think Allen and Jackson produce points.
Let's go to the coaching hires. You talked about them with Adam before. Robert Saleh will take the Jet job. Here he is, Scotty, from the end of the season. San Francisco finished up December the 31st. And here is all the lessons he's going to take from San Francisco about being a good head coach.
Through 4 years, you know, I'll be honest, just watching, I've been very, very fortunate of just being able to, just throughout my career, being able to learn from many people. And so when I look at the leadership that John and Kyle have provided here, and it's been eye-opening in terms of the way organizations run and what those two have done, just from not only a collaboration standpoint, but from a vision standpoint in terms of getting everybody on the same page and creating a mindset within an organization where we all, again, in this building, we just all have such a great appreciation for one another. And we've been stuck in this hotel for over a month. But, you know, there's no other team that I don't think there's a team in the league that can handle it like we have, because we actually like hanging out with each other.
I think they got the best coach. I really do. Now, I know you have some funny old footage of Urban Meyer.
Yes, you know how much I love Urban. We discussed this on Pharrell on the Bench last night. Here he is after he retired from the Ohio State job just 2 years ago. I'm never going to coach again, Scotty. I'm never going to coach again. Here's Urban.
Why do you believe that you won't coach again?
Well, I think I'm very blessed, and this has been, I know, relatively young, but I started young. 17 years as a head coach, 33 years doing this, and just very fortunate, and I do believe I'm done.
Yeah, whatever. Money and getting the number one pick in the draft, so he'll get Lawrence. Don't buy the Fields BS. And then they got $76 million to spend. What a way to start your NFL coaching career with that kind of cachet. How about Wayne Rooney? He retires at Derby, but he's still going to coach him. Nice cushy gig for him there. Montreal's MLS team drops the Impact nickname, now the Montreal Football Club. Kurt Schilling believes his insurance company dropped him over his pro-Trump politics. And maybe because you're nuts, Dustin Diamond, better known as Screech, ends up in the hospital with cancer undergoing chemo. That doesn't sound good. Carnival Cruise Line says they booked more cruises for 2022 than 2019. I wouldn't get on a cruise ship if you gave me $1 million.
Come on, Sky. I mean, we'll go out to the dock. We'll head out for a week. Come on. We'll go on a little cruise next year. Book it now.
Thank you. Welcome to the Petri dish. Animal Kingdom renewed for the sixth and final season on TNT. 26 episodes left. I love that show. It's kick-ass. Can't wait. They're filming season 5 right now. I got a lot more news coming up, and you're going to love it. Don't go anywhere on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
54 years ago today, Lombardi's Packers beat Hank Stram's Chiefs in Super Bowl I in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. And I think you might see it again. It could end up being Kansas City and Green Bay. We'll see if that pans out. Conor McGregor buys a $2 million watch. He learned that trick from Floyd Mayweather. Mafia remembers when Floyd Mayweather brought his briefcase to my studio one night at Howard 101 and opened it up, and there was about 20 million dollar watches, and he was walking around Manhattan with it like some kind of badass. It was pretty funny. Chase Young buys a huge Washington football team logo ice chain worth 85 grand. He's also going to put a billboard up in DC where he lives and what his alarm key code is going to be on his house. Is there anything worse than guys that brag about their bling? A teacher accidentally sends kids an incest and sex video in a primary school. Nice job.
Whoa.
Nice job, teacher. Hot for teacher. New Jersey defense prioritizing smokers in their next round of vaccine rollouts. After that, they're going to let mafia heads get the vaccine. Tony Soprano, all of his friends. Colorado man who allegedly plotted to kill Nancy Pelosi held without bail. Hope he enjoys his time in prison because he's going to be there for a while. And this story tops all of them. Masters champ Angel Cabrera arrested in Brazil, extradited to Argentina after allegedly threatening to kill his ex-wife and allegedly punching and threatening to run his girlfriend over with his car. I mean, that guy, he's top Tiger Woods. With he's Ellen chasing him with a 56-degree wedge. Your boy Angel wanted to do double axles on her head.
He's having a bad day. He's having a bad day. They grab him and they send him back to Argentina. Look out. Jeez. Lock him up.
We always love to give you the incest, sex, and violence story at the end of the show, and horse testicles. I just wanted to mention that. By the way, those horse testicles were not grapefruit size. They were basketball size. Game time next. See you tonight on the bench at 10.